Hi, this is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. Thanks for joining me again. I'm Kara Lawrence. This Sunday is the annual Western Michigan University Concerto Concert, featuring the three winners of the School of Music's Concerto Competition. One of them is an international master's student from Ecuador, cellist Adriana Fernandez. She's joined us here today at WMUK, along with the conductor of the University Symphony Orchestra, Dr. Bruce Uchimura. Welcome to both of you, Adriana. May I start with you? What year student are you here at Western Michigan University?
This is my second year, and I'm a grad student, so it's my last year, last semester.
And you came here to study cello as a master's student with Dr. Uchimura here.
Yes, I did.
How has that experience been for you?
Oh, it's been hard. No, it's been really fun.
Careful, I'm in the room.
I know. We have a lot of fun and I've learned a lot. It's been quite an experience, a lot of activities going on.
And have you seen yourself grow and develop as a cellist?
I have. I think so. It's probably because I have someone behind me being like, hey, practice, practice, and we have this next lesson, so this whole amount of work for next lesson. So I kind of like that. I'm good at that when they're pushing me.
Now, I was looking online yesterday and saw that you had recently completed your final recital.
I did, yes.
So you were probably focusing on that until today's interview.
Yeah.
You know? Now the concerto competition is coming up this Sunday, but tell me about completing and performing your master's solo recital.
Luckily I did Shlomo in my recital, so I thought about not putting it there. I was like, I just need to keep working on it and getting to know more of the piano part at least, so that I knew more of my cues and things that I should be listening to. It was a lot of fun. I had a recital in my first semester with it was shorter and all, so this one felt so much harder, but it was a good experience just getting to play a bunch of stuff that I hadn't before. I recently discovered that I haven't played as many stuff of many cello repertoire. So
there's always more.
There's so much. So it was fun. I did four pieces. I did an entire back suite, the fourth one.
Wow.
Which was the first time I dared to play a complete one. So that was something.
Well, now you've done it once, you can do it.
Yeah.
Forever.
If I did that one, then I'm ready. It was a lot of time, but I think it went pretty well. I'm pretty proud. And I've been listening to some parts of my recording. I was like, yeah, I think I've improved.
Sure is different when, you know, in the practice room, you stop and go back and fix things. But on the concert stage, it's a totally different thing. Was it helpful to have friends and family in the audience?
I did. I had my sister, and that was the best. She was like, oh, how did you get so much better? She's just adorable. And I had a lot of people. I didn't know I've made such a huge amount of friends here. And it just felt really good.
Bruce just mouths, she's popular. And so was Sandra when she was here as a flute player, your older sister, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Sandra.
Well, it's really thrilling that you auditioned and won the concerto competition. That was back in January, right?
February.
Mid-February.
What went well for you that day?
Well, I don't know.
I can tell you.
Okay.
from the judges' comments, they felt like Adriana communicated her piece and music the best of anybody on that day. So they were very unified where she was concerned. And Adriana has one of those rare abilities. You remember, we put great emphasis on technique and proficiency in music, which is all very important, so we can play the notes in tune and correctly. But there is that X factor, isn't there? And Adriana's got it.
Mm.
So they were very unified with that and very impressed with that.
Well, tell me a little more about Shlomo and the piece. Is it a concerto for cello or not?
We consider it like it is. It doesn't have the word concerto on the first page. It has a really important role in the orchestra as in the cello. So I think I mentioned that in my program notes for my recital. The piece is based on the Book of the Ecclesiastes, and it was written by Bloch, and he was raised in a Jewish family, so he wanted to show some of his roots in a cycle of music that he made, and Shlomo was part of that cycle. I think he was the last one he wrote, and that was in 1916. Yes. It's scary with my professor right next to me.
Not saying a thing.
Yeah. So it has a mixture of Eastern and Western music in it, a lot of meter changes, repeated patterns. It's a really fun piece. Yeah. You can see a lot of the Jewish music in it. Oh, I even listened to some of Jewish stuff before so that I would compare. It's like, yes, it has a bunch of it.
Man. I always think of singing when I hear the piece, or I try to remember the piece. I think of chanting and singing when the piece comes to mind.
Well, guess what? Bloch originally intended it for voice and orchestra, you see, based on the words of King Solomon,
who
he was trying to do. But he had a hard time picking which words he wanted to use, right? Solomon, you know, the biblical record of him spans his entire lifetime, and so he found it difficult to do that. And then a good friend of his, Alexander Bayansky, was a cellist and said, why not put it to the cello?
Why not? Of course a cellist would say that.
And that gave him more tonal possibilities. Since the cello is a King Solomon's voice, and the orchestra is largely his thoughts. So,
now, in years past, concerto soloists sometimes play, you know, a smaller part of a full concerto, but that's not really possible with Shlomo.
No.
It's one long movement.
Yeah, it's essentially titled Hebraic Rhapsody, Hebrew Rhapsody for cello and orchestra. So it's impossible to cut. You can't really cut it, you know.
Well, we really can't listen to all 25 minutes here today, but what are the general outlines of the piece? Does it go fast, slow, fast, or something like typical concerto?
That's a good question. It alternates, right, depending on his thoughts. I don't think it follows any particular time progression, since it is very programmatic, using the Book of Ecclesiastes and King Solomon. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I think it's more of his emotional thoughts, and it does have clear sections, although it's you know, there's no pause. So I don't, you couldn't really say that.
On the back of the CD here, there are just 5 tempo indications in a row. So
yeah, the beginning section is dominated by the solo cello, and then go orchestra, of course, big interlude, and then it comes to a chant-like section, very stormy. This is where he's in big conflict, and supposedly he's very angry and responding with the cello voice. The orchestra is in an ostinato, chaotic version, and that shows the chaos of the world, of course, and then ends very peacefully, kind of resignation, like, you know, there's not that much Solomon can do.
The concerto concert at Western Michigan University, featuring the symphony orchestra with 3 concerto soloists, is this Sunday at 3:00 in Miller Auditorium. Admission is free. It's open to the public, and it features 3 soloists, flutist Heidi Keener and bassoonist Mingyuan Yang, and my guest here today, Adriana Fernandez, as a solo cellist in Shlomo, conducted by my additional guest, Bruce Ujimura. Let's listen to the opening of Bloch's Shlomo, a recording with Misha Maisky and the Israel Philharmonic, led by Leonard Bernstein. That is music from Shlomo, a fantasy for cello and orchestra. The piece is by Ernst Bloch, and my guest, Adriana Fernandez, is one of the winners of the WMU Concerto competition with that piece. You'll perform the full piece on Sunday, right, Adriana?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole 20-something minutes.
What does it feel like at the end of the piece? I think Bruce was kind of alluding to, you know, not fully resolved, perhaps, but for you, as the main speaker, like the storyteller in this piece, are you satisfied? Have you finished telling the story at the end of the piece?
It is kind of weird, the end, because there's this huge mess of 20 minutes of music and everything's super intense, and then at the end, it's just one long note that pretty much dies. And it's just super weird, but I really like it. I really enjoy it. That's like my favorite part, the end. I don't know if it resolved, but I guess because it's based on King Solomon, so the whole thing is about him being pretty much sad and desperate and all his feelings. So again, at the end, he's just like, okay, I'm done. I just did it wrong or something like that. So it does have its end for me, but it's not a happy one, definitely.
I believe Ernst Bloch was a Swiss composer, so he's very European in a lot of ways. But he was saying, I have Jewish roots. This music comes from my deepest, earliest part of me. And that's a bit brave, too, to create a concerto with themes embracing his Jewishness at a time when
World War I.
Yeah. So this is in the 20s, you're saying?
15.
1915?
1516. It was finished in 16. Oh, the cycle was composed between 1915 and 1917. It really is a really quite a gorgeous piece that most people should learn. But teachers tend to hold off on that because I think it requires a degree of musical maturity and knowledge before you actually can aspire to play. And technically it's a little strange, right? Because it's very modal and, tricky for intonation. That's something that a standard freshman would go, how do I learn this,
I'd say the Mozart is a perfect contrast to that, because there you have clear rhythms, tonal harmony that makes perfect sense every time, you hear it.
Classic Mozart, right?
Yes.
The second movement of that bassoon concerto was used as an aria for one of a Marriage of Figaro characters, for example, so it's very operatic, very beautiful.
Would you talk about the soloist for the bassoon concerto, one of the other two winners?
I'll tell you what I know. Ming Yuan Yang is from Wuhan, China. Wendy Rose recruited him, and he actually studied with the brother of one of my former students, Bo Xu, who was a cellist from China, also older. And the brother is a professor of woodwinds at the Wuhan Conservatory. And this is who Ming Yuan Yang studied with. And he came to Western as an undergraduate and won the concerto competition, has progressed immensely under Wendy Rose, his fabulous teaching, and his ensemble skills, which are not really taught, right, in Western music. I mean, he probably knows how to do Chinese folk, right, idioms, but not necessarily Western music. So he's learned a lot and improved a lot in orchestra in that context.
And this is his second win.
This is his second win because we have a rule at Western that they may enter twice. If they win as a freshman, then they have to wait till their senior year again to enter, and he won again with this most famous of bassoon concertos units on all of the major orchestra auditions. I don't think there's a bassoonist accomplished bassoonist that doesn't study the piece intensively at some point in their lives.
I see. Anything to add? He's a fellow orchestra member of yours, Adriana. Has it been fun to work with Ming Yuan in the last couple years?
Yeah, I actually had to work with him this weekend. We played Bach cantata together, and I was doing the continuo part and bassoon, and we had pretty much the same thing in the part. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. He's so good.
It's a pleasure to listen to him play.
Yeah, and he's such a nice person. He's very quiet, but he's so humble. So, yeah, it's just... He's adorable.
And just off the air a minute ago, you told me something pretty exciting about where he's going.
Yeah, I think he finally decided. I think he probably got accepted to a lot of grad schools, but he's in fact going to pursue his master's at Yale University.
That's terrific. Well, you can see Ming Yuan, you can see Adriana, you can see Heidi Keener on Sunday at 3:00 in Miller Auditorium, when the University Symphony Orchestra takes the stage to perform three concertos and the 1812 Overture, which we will get to. But let's take a moment to hear part of the Bassoon Concerto in B-flat by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. We heard the first movement of the Bassoon Concerto by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and that was a recording made live by the New Amsterdam Sinfonietta with the bassoonist Ronald Carton. And on Sunday, the bassoonist in the full concerto will be Ming Yuan Yang, a student who hails from Wuhan, China, and is in his final year as an undergraduate at Western Michigan University. There are three winners of the concerto competition, as always this year. One is flutist Heidi Keener. We're going to talk about her in just a moment. And the other is Adriana Fernandez, who is here in the studio and is playing Bloch's Shlomo on Sunday. Also music of Tchaikovsky to get to as well. But let's look at the third concerto, Bruce. Heidi Keener is the soloist. She's a student of Martha Council Vargas. I've had Martha on a couple of times in the last year about some of her solo projects, a new CD and this interesting illustrated dance project that I wasn't able to attend, but sounded really interesting. So I think Martha's doing some amazing things for her own growth, and it's probably spreading into her flute studio as well. What do you admire about Heidi's playing, Bruce?
Heidi comes to us from Ohio, Youngstown, I believe, and she's quiet and unassuming. But when she sits down to play in the orchestra, she's very, very with it. You can tell she knows her part. She knows the context. She listens very carefully to her colleagues in the woodwind section as well as the orchestra itself. So she's a very good leader. And I've had her in the section as well as on principal and on piccolo. So she's really quite sensational in all of those from my observations.
It's my understanding that this Franz Doppler piece is fairly rare. I mean, he is known among flute players.
Yeah, he was actually, he and his brother had a duo, Carl, and they were very well known in the era. You know, one of those things, again, you know, I just saw Amadeus again for the first time, and, you know, Salieri was the thing. And then now everybody knows Mozart, but if you mention Salieri, they go, who? Doppler was the same way, I believe. But he was apparently a very, very fine flutist. And had a duel with his brother that made a big splash in Europe at the time.
What did his brother play?
I'm not sure. Piano, I think. You know, father was an oboe player. But they call it the Doppler duo, and, you know, and they were both, of course, composers. And Doppler himself, of course, wrote a lot of flute music, but he also wrote operas. He was a student of Franz Liszt, thereby the Hungarian influence came. And he actually, you know, Liszt was one of those, there's a myth, urban myth, that said Liszt really couldn't orchestrate, so he would give the assignment to somebody and say, here, this is my piano, Hungarian Rhapsody, go ahead and orchestrate it. And then he would change every bar, you know, with some small thing, and then call it his own. So maybe the, you know, Mazeppa and all those things. Les Preludes are really Doppler's writing. We don't know that because Liszt gave him an assignment of six Hungarian rhapsodies that he was supposed to arrange, orchestrate from the piano versions. Interesting. So
I see. So this was a fairly popular man. Doppler was a well-known soloist and with the duo and traveling
composer,
around Europe.
Yeah.
Was he writing mostly for himself, do you think?
I think so, yeah. That was the tradition, right, in those days, which Liszt started, of course, right? Paganini, they wrote music for themselves, and then they played it beautifully on stage and impressed everybody, and that was the modus operandi at the time, you know?
What does this pastoral Hungarian fantasy remind you of?
It's terribly difficult, I can tell you that much, for the conductor and the orchestra, because the orchestra has to follow very closely. There are several arrangements of the orchestra, you know, orchestra part, the piano part, I think, because originally I think it was for piano, and then various people orchestrated. I know there's a version for wind symphony, and there are various orchestra versions of the accompaniment. So it's interesting, you know. The orchestra is used very sparingly because the focus is the flute, right, playing. So it's quite virtuosic, and the orchestra part is difficult but not prominent like it is in Shlomo, for example.
The spotlight needs to be
exactly
on the soloist.
It's a complete solo flute piece, you know.
Well, let's get a taste of what we'll hear on Sunday. Heidi Keener will be soloist. What year did you say she was?
She's a first-year master's student.
First-year master's student. Heidi Keener from Ohio. It's a very virtuosic piece, the Fantasy Pastorale Hongroise, or the Hungarian Pastoral Fantasy, by Franz Doppler. And Heidi Keener will be the soloist in a live performance on Sunday. This is the annual concerto concert. We know we're past 50 years of the concerto concert at the School of Music at Western Michigan University. My guest, Dr. Bruce Ujimura, will be conducting the University Symphony Orchestra. And Adriana Fernandez, one of the three winners of the concerto competition, will be performing the Shlomo quasi-concerto by Ernst Bloch on Sunday afternoon as well. Well, now that we're close to the end of the hour, about 15 minutes away, it's time to talk about the first and last pieces on the program. How will the concert begin, Bruce?
We're beginning with a Wagner Ride of the Valkyries, which opens the third act of Die Walküre, right? The second opera, I think, chronologically from the Ring of the Nibelung cycle. All about the big Valkyries.
Huge warm-up, I mean.
And they're about to take, right, souls to Valhalla.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most famous things. They said he actually sketched it quite a bit earlier, that famous excerpt. And it's very short, but very popular.
I know. I have a feeling like certain people who love the piece well enough would just come to any concert that for 5 minutes of music. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum.
It's quite famous with a very quirky rhythm that, you know, many it seems so simple. It's not that simple, actually. You know, Beethoven 7 has that rhythm and the 7th Symphony has that rhythm and so forth. And it's quite difficult to execute. But brass players work long and hard on the excerpt. It's one of the major excerpts for the trombonist, at least, you know, and tuba. So I like it. And the strings, of course, and woodwind parts are all filler and all black. So one of my my English horn.
Black notes on the keyboard.
Black notes on the on the page. And then my English hornist said to me, "Well," I said, "How's it going?" She said, "Well, my finger's getting tendonitis from playing this for a key and so forth and so on." So it's that sort of Wagner piece, but.
What it's a great way to open a concert, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite a good work. And then we end the concert with Tchaikovsky's great 1812 Overture, which is interesting because it's a piece that, he was commissioned by, I'm not exactly sure, but, Rubinstein maybe, to write it for the commemoration of Russia's defense against Napoleon's army in 1812, successful defense, except it wasn't the Russian army, which was pitiful compared to Bonaparte's 100,000 or whatever it was. It was the Russian winter that made them vacate and not pursue it anymore. Very interesting. However, Tchaikovsky did write this magnificent piece, which of course made him very wealthy and very famous because it had instant appeal, as it does everywhere and every time it's played. Ironically enough, Tchaikovsky wasn't a big fan of the piece. Can you imagine? I think he finished in 6 weeks and he thought, and he wrote to his patron, Madame von Meck, and said, I have to conduct the thing, but I have to tell you, it's not a great piece of music. I didn't pore over it.
Right.
But yet it was, I beg to differ. It's one of his best works, I think, because Tchaikovsky was a master of that kind of stuff, ballet, music, and this kind of short but really memorable, right, music.
Yeah. Well, maybe he just looked at it and didn't see that he had done anything really new or something.
Perhaps.
But it was still great Tchaikovsky.
I mean, it's so wonderfully put together and actually describes the chain of events that led to the Russians' victory, the Tsar's victory, It begins with glorious Adriana's playing for that piece on this concert, cello and viola solos, two violas and four cellos, with an Eastern Orthodox, right, chant, "Lord, O Lord, save thy people." Of course, because there is a battle going on, they have the French national anthem, La Marseillaise, also, right, at various times. And then, of course, the huge God Save the Tsar theme, which wasn't really the national theme, but it became it, comes when the cannons and church bells ring. And then even includes another Russian folk song called "At the Gate, at My Gate." So it's very Russian oriented.
What do orchestras do when they can't get live cannons these days?
Like us, you're talking about?
Or we not?
Judy Moonert and her crew has been, my USO percussionists have been desperately working on that. So we think we've come up with a solution. Although one percussionist did entertain the thought of having explosives, but Miller X'd that. Miller Auditorium said, "No, we may not do that." So, but people do get, you have to figure that out because you have to make noise at that. I mean, clearly Tchaikovsky writes these cannon blasts, And so we are going to do it with a very, very loud bass drum.
Well, this morning when I was running around desperately, as always, at the last minute looking for CDs for this hour, I pulled out one and then a second one that credited choruses with this piece. And I was like, that's not right. I put them back and found one without a chorus. But I guess that's common.
Ashkenazi used chorus, and lots of them actually use chorus because they are songs. The first one's a chant. The other one's a Russian song. I don't think they do the French national anthem or God Save the Tsar, but they definitely, at those moments, do the Russian folk song and the chant.
So a lot of times you can hear a chorus join in on this piece.
Correct. I'd rather hear the cellos myself. That's
I figured.
From a cellist.
Professor of cello, Bruce Ujimura, and Adriana Fernandez. Thank you so much for coming to talk about this concert. Adriana, tell us again when and where this concert is.
The concert will be this Sunday, April 24th at 3 p.m. in Miller Auditorium.
All right. Do you have any last words for anybody?
Oh, well, I guess please come. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've prepared, and we're really looking forward to this. It's a great opportunity.
How about you, Dr. Ujimura?
It's always free, and the audience will love seeing these soloists and hearing the 1812 Overture and Wagner.
I look forward to it, too. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you.